BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
On Friday, I traveled to Corvallis and had a one-on-one sit-down conversation in the Oregon State University president's office. Giothy Murthy, on the job 2 years this September, walked into a whirlwind as the Pac-12 conference, 9 days after she took the job, USC and UCLA announced they were leaving. And then on her one-year anniversary or so, Oregon State found itself with Washington State facing the rebuild of the Pac-12 conference. We got a chance to talk about branding, the decision-making timeline, and get to know the president just a little better. Go behind the curtain with me here and listen to our one-on-one interview.
That must have been incredibly supportive amid all the people who are telling you, this can't be done, you can graduate from this school, but you'll never get a job. Yeah. All the stuff you were told. You must have had somebody, some voice in your household that said, you can do this.
Oh, my parents were it, my mother and father. My dad was a civil engineer, worked for Indian Railways most of his life. My mother was trained as a marine zoologist. She got a graduate degree in marine zoology, never able to work as a marine zoologist. They just weren't jobs for women then. And, you know, and they were a part of this generation that came of age during Indian independence, 1947, when we broke off from the British. And they were really forward-thinking because I think they grew up in this time of royal and revolution. So they weren't bound by ideas that everybody else was bound by. And, you know, they had three daughters. Daughters weren't, you know, the most prized, you know, sex at the time. But they gave us every chance that I could think of. I mean, I wanted to be an engineer like my dad. They were fine with that. And so I went off to the Indian Institute of Technology, Kanpur, and I was one of two women in my class. I think there were maybe 10 women in the undergraduate program. And, you know, they let me go. This was unheard of for me. And then I get out of school and want to go to graduate school. I'm not married, nothing. And they send me off to the U.S.,
That must have, when you are flying across an ocean to go to a new place, that must have been a big leap.
First flight ever. I'd never been on an airplane, and my first flight is whatever, a 30-hour flight or something. And I'd never eaten airline food, and I was given airline food. I thought it was delicious. I just couldn't believe that I was on this huge adventure, and turbulence hits. I think, what the heck is that? Is this plane coming down? I mean, literally, I had no idea what this thing was. And I had maybe $100 in my pocket, and that was it.
You said it was Dad, the engineering part. But you also have to have a real love for that. And, because that's not an easy thing to, can't just be, I want to be like my dad. What was it about engineering that drew you in?
I mean, I was good at school, all right? Yeah. And, I wanted to go off and be an astronomer or a writer or whatever. I had many, many interests. So it wasn't, just one thing. I happened to be good at math, too. And, I just thought my dad was the most brilliant person on earth, and he could solve anything and think about anything. And so some of it was just, I want to be him. And I was good at school generally. And so I end up taking this big old entrance exam, and I get in, and it's sort of like getting into MIT. You don't say no, when you get in, and you say yes. So a lot of it was actually not fully understanding what I was getting into, but all my life I found almost anything interesting. You put me in an English lit class, I'll jump right in, and that'll be my thing. So I found my interest, step by step.
What do you like about Oregon that maybe surprised you?
I'll tell you, I don't know that it's a surprise because I think I always knew this. The physical beauty of the place throws me every single day. I mean, today I was up early, I had a 7 a.m. phone call, and we've got our interviewers walking around the garden between appointments and drinking a cup of tea, and thinking, oh my gosh, where are we? I mean, this is just this beautiful place. And for me, that matters. It sort of roots you in the place, mm-hmm. you know. And so every day is a surprise. Every day is beauty, and I love that.
So you, I saw in your parking spot you have a convertible.
Yeah.
Are you driving around in a convertible? That little girl from India is driving around in a convertible as a university president in a beautiful place.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, your parents, if I had told them that when you were a little kid, would they have been surprised by that? Or would they know that's our girl?
They would have, no, I mean, convertible was my one indulgence.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a convertible type person. And that thing is about, 12, 13 years old at this point. So it's not a new thing.
No.
But I love that because it, you know, sort of, it gives you this huge sense of freedom from driving, you know, just driving around. And you're right. I mean, with my parents, this wouldn't be the thing. You know, we grew up, we were never poor. You know, my father was an engineer, so we were solidly middle class. But it was also a time of no indulgence, right?
Yeah.
Everything was, you saved and you were careful and you never overspent, never took debt. My dad wouldn't even build a house till he had the entire chunk of money in the bank. I mean, he would never take a loan out.
Yeah.
You know, so I grew up in those kinds of circumstances, never indulging ourselves.
Yeah.
And that continues to this day.
When you arrive on a campus, you probably have things you're real comfortable with and things you are not. What did that feel like, kind of that whirlwind? I remember we did an interview very early. The commissioner told me he got on a call with you before the interview, so you guys sort of briefed on it. But you had to get up to speed really quickly.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and the truth is that there's parts of it that are purely athletics, and you got to try and understand that. But a lot of it is money, a lot of it is people, and so we figured it out. I mean, you know, we were in the middle of it very, very quickly. You have to deal with, you know, certainly athletics, you have to deal with alums, you have to deal with the campus that was in uproar, the entire, you know, communications and PR side of it, all the folks that, you know, we were doing fundraising for research, that was up and, you know, people were wondering where we're headed. So we did figure it out. And I'll tell you what really helped me is that I've got a great team here. I mean, and I figured out that we've got some real superstars here.
Yeah.
And I've always felt it's sort of like the Marvel comics, right? I mean, you've got one guy that can throw bolts of lightning and somebody else can summon up storms. And we literally have those kinds of people. And you figured out, you know, whose talent was what. And they came together fast. And one of the, I mean, I hate to say, you know, this is wonderful because of a crisis, but we really did come together as a team because it pulled us together and everybody was doing their bit. The legal folks are doing their bit. Comms folks are doing their bit. And, you know, that was a pretty amazing experience right there.
When the conference, that August date, I know the anniversary just passed and I couldn't help but think about what I was doing that morning and the night before and 2 days before and who I was talking to and what they told me that I now look back and go, they weren't being truthful.
Yeah.
When you look back at that, does it still surprise you or maybe that what happened or... Do you look back at it? Are you angry about what happened? Or I know there was a lot of emotion attached to that.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly was then. And, you know, to the extent that I look back, it does shake me up even now. But I'm, you know, kind of thinking it's done. It's a year old. We got to look forward and we've got to, you know, start architecting our own future. So I'm not spending a huge amount of energy on that.
Yeah.
There was a time you could get me pretty riled up,
right.
But not so much now anymore.
The Commissioner, Teresa Gold, you've worked closely with her.
Yeah.
What is that like on a day-to-day basis?
I love it. That is a talented woman. And, it's absolutely obvious to me. And I'm so proud that she's the first woman A5 Commissioner that we've appointed and that we got her through Pac-12. The thing that really surprised me about Teresa is how quickly we got to a place of trust, you know, very, very quickly. I mean, this was literally weeks and we were able to talk to each other in complete frankness. I will say anything I want to her. I mean, I don't hold back. And the same is true of Kirk Schultz, because, you know, we've been in this cauldron together, you know, and so there's a real sense that we are, you know, one institution, even though we're all these different institutions. And so there's a point of trust and the point of frankness with her that I never felt before. And, you know, and she proved herself. I mean, you saw how she did the whole CFP thing, you know, just moved it from 300K to 3.6 mil. I mean, that took a bunch of doing. And she does it subtly. She's built relationships. She's got good relationships with the other commissioners, good relationship with us, with Scott Barnes, you know, with Anne. It's a good group. And so I'm really thrilled to see her taking the reins. And, you know, you got to really be appreciative of what she's had to pull off, right? Pac-12 was, couple of hundred people. It's down to a quarter of that,
yeah.
Right? And so she's had to, you know, let people go, people of long-standing, people who worked there for 20, 25 years, reconfigure everything, set up Pac-12 networks, hire Michael Molinari, and, you know, take on this huge responsibility. It's amazing what she's been able to pull off.
You know, I know there's a lot of moving parts, but yeah. Is there a timeline on when you kind of need to make a decision or pick a path in your mind?
Yeah, it's closing in fast, right? I mean, you know, we're at the start of our two-year period. We're going to have to, you know, move. And it's a balance where, you know, you got to make sure you're not losing opportunities because you're moving real quickly. At the same time, there's a price to pay, you know, in terms of uncertainty, right? You know, the uncertainty is not good for recruitment. We got to hang on to our coaches. Kirk Schultz is planning to step down in a year, and so you're careful about not hitting a leadership transition that could really mess things up. So there are pressures on the other side, and so I'm, you know, keenly aware. I think what I'd want our fans to know is that nobody's sleeping on the job. I mean, we are on it at a level of intensity that may not be evident from the outside because we're not able to talk about these things. But nobody should think that we're just sort of letting it go or waiting for things to happen. We're working the problem really hard, and they should also know that we are not risk averse. I mean, I hope they know that from the way we've handled this crisis. We've not just sat around and let things be done to us. And so we are, you know, we take risks. We're willing to play the game a little more toughly than people might expect. And we're doing that. And all of that is playing out underneath. I can't talk about it. We've got great expertise helping us out. We have these incredibly long meetings once a week. So it's happening, all right? And I know people are really anxious, and that comes from the huge love and excitement and commitment that Beaver Nation has. I mean, these are folks that are absolutely focused on, you know, on OSU. And I know that they're impatient. I wish I could give them weekly reports. I cannot. But bear with us and know that, you know, we've got really smart people working on this.
Yeah, I think part of the issue with when the whole Pac-12 thing was going on was a lot of misinformation and leaks. Yeah. There were a lot of outside entities that were involved. Maybe can you help the public understand what is the danger in talking openly, like, okay, here's our master plan, we're going to lay it out.
Yeah.
You know, is there a danger of, are there threats out there that would, you know, derail the plan?
Well, I mean, look, no commercial entity, ESPN and Fox and whoever else, will ever talk freely about any conversations that are going on. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a threat to their business. Pac-12 has its own. It's not a public institution like a university is. So,
right.
You know, so things are, you know, confidential. So we can't talk about those parts of the universe anyway. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation. You know, John, you've been wonderful in terms of being absolutely factual and careful about the things that you report. But you know what the internet is like. I mean, it's a nut house out there. And I began to understand how much it's just cooked up when I look at what's out in the media. It's just, you know, I knew what the truth was and I could see what was being reported. It was complete nonsense. And so don't believe everything you hear. I try very hard not to be swayed by the nonsense. I keep a clear head. And there are times I won't look at social media because it just drives you nuts.
You mentioned that some of the TV partners, the CW has come in, and it looks like that relationship is one of those examples of you guys being a little aggressive and forward thinking. That was a much better deal than people were telling me that you could get.
Yeah.
When that came together, or how that came together, you know, how did you balance exposure, revenue? Did the revenue even matter at that point, or what was important to you?
I mean, revenue matters, but at this point, really exposure is the thing that we're looking for, right? We want to remain relevant. We want to remain visible while all of this plays out, and that's a very big deal, which is why, you know, the deal that we announced yesterday is a big deal with baseball and CW and, you know, Port and CW, as well as the streaming parts of that,
The president of the CW, I interviewed him, and he talked about having some windows, and they obviously want to get into sports, and I think the move yesterday supported that. Their affiliates, whether they're Portland's affiliate or beyond, are interested in sports and sports programming because it's appointment viewing. Is there an appetite, do you think, beyond what Fox and ESPN have done? Is there a larger appetite? Does the CW coming in, are there others like the CW who are sitting on the sideline in your mind that could come in and help drive?
But we'd be open to all of those opportunities. I know Teresa's looking at a whole lot of options for us. Streaming is an option. I mean, at this point, we're willing to be quite, you know, take risk.
Do you look at 2025 as sort of compartmentalized? 2024 football season, you needed scheduling. 2025, you need scheduling, and then you have a major decision in 26. Or is there some synergy there in sort of like a plane taking off?
There could be. I mean, you know, the Mountain West, obviously, we've got an arrangement with them for 24. 25 is an option, and we're certainly having conversations. And there are obviously future options that could be of interest. So that's one path. It doesn't have to be the only path, but it's an important path for us.
One of the paths involves a potential rebuild of the conference. As I talk to Mountain West presidents, there's a feeling there that, hey, would the Pac-12 really do to us what others have done to them?
Yeah.
Where do you stand on kind of the holistic view of that ecosystem?
We want to be good partners, all right? I mean, there's no question about it. We want to be good partners to whoever we partner with. At the same time, we want a competitive landscape for us, and we want a strong competitive group that we, you know, play with and build our own talents and provide opportunities for our students. So it's a balance between those two. We won't act unethically ever, but we have to do what's right for OSU.
Do you think others acted unethically in the Pac-12's downfall?
I wouldn't go so far, but I do think that people act in their self-interest, which is not surprising. I wouldn't say unethical.
The branding and marketing. There's university branding and marketing, and there's athletic department branding. Right. And there are some really good examples, just 40 miles away. Yeah. Are they just really, have benefited?
Invested or not?
Yeah. Or they have benefited from the glow of Nike. Let's be real. You've got some partners, and you've got some good relationships with former alumni who have built big companies.
Yeah.
Can Oregon State lean into those relationships?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, right? And so certainly on the academic side, there's big interest in leaning into our relationship with NVIDIA, with Jensen Huang. We've just broken ground on the Huang Collaborative Innovation Complex. It's going to come online in 2026. I was just sitting at this table yesterday trying to plot out what the research infrastructure is going to be and what we're going to start growing. And our connection to the biggest AI company in the world in the era of AI is a huge, huge plus. And I'm not yet sure what the athletic side of that
is. Can you make him a football fan? Can you get him to a game?
I'm going to try. But that is a connection that we can't just ignore. And, so we're off. Our strategic plan is off building the entire AI plus robotics plus fast computation plus everything sustainability, everything ag, everything forestry. What's a modern land grant look like in the era of AI? I mean, that's an exciting place to be. And see, everybody's got to understand how different this is from, say, an urban school like UCLA, where I used to be. Great school. But sustainability there means how do you unclog the 405 at 5 p.m.? What do you do with EVs? How do you suck CO2 out of the atmosphere that the factories are spewing? For us, it's a different deal. For us, it's clean oceans. How do you get your forests to work in a sustainable way? How do you do sustainable ag? And how do you use the power of AI to make rural sustainability workable, right? That's the problem that we have, and it's a very unique place to be.
Is there a lane for AI in sports?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they aren't already doing it, they're too late. I mean, absolutely.
Could Oregon State be a pioneer in that place?
Could be.
That sort of leads us into the balance between higher education and major college athletics. Those two things are not lining up right now.
Yeah.
How does that feel to you?
You know, there is a contradiction, right? I mean, in a way, because you've got a public institution with public responsibilities, we're not a money-making institution just by design. We don't play the market. And at the same time, we've got a part of our operation that is tied to the market and market value, and balancing these is quite difficult, right? And we're running into that. For us, the North Star is clear. We have a commitment to our student athletes. Their success matters and their well-being matters. That's a North Star. We've got a commitment to our alums and fans, and we've got to deliver value for them. And we've got to give our students the best competitive experience that they can. And how to work this out in this mix of public and private is where the problem lies.
I touched on the branding, and I think I want to go back to that in athletics. Is there an investment in sort of telling the story? This season feels really important for Oregon State and Washington State, beyond just the university's own agency.
Yeah.
Have you guys hired a firm to, or has the Pac-12 hired a firm? Help me with branding.
I think branding is really important. No question. Positioning and branding, particularly at this point in time, is really important. I know Scott Barnes is deeply, deeply aware of it. I know Teresa is deeply aware of it. And they're working on it. The CW deal is a part of that. In a sense, it's a part of that branding too, right? And Fox and CW and telling that story. So, yeah, absolutely, we're aware of that.
You mentioned Kirk Schultz leaving. He's got another year. They've already had a change in ADs. I think it's really important that you and Scott Barnes are in position and aligned. Can you maybe speak to how that has affected the dynamic? From outside, that's a question I get a lot, is how has that transition or potential transition affected the decision making?
Yeah, no question. I mean, transitions are hard. This whole thing, transitions in the leadership, of course, transfer portals and coaches. So it's been a big story of transition. But I think we've come through it. I feel like Scott and I talk all the time. We're together. Health scares have, I think, gotten a whole lot better now. I think he's in, he will tell you he's in great shape. So we've worked it out. We've found our way through it. And I think the hard decisions are going to get made this year anyway, hopefully before Kirk retires. Anne's been there for a while. Yeah. She's not a new entity at all, so she knows the place. So that's what's made it workable for us.
I know early on you said you want people to know that you're working behind the scenes. Beyond that, what do you need from your alumni base, your student body, as it pertains to their role in helping this?
I mean, look, they've been incredibly good right through this. You saw the crowds last season. I mean, they were, they showed up. Yeah. It wasn't just words. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate the passion and the commitment. And I want them to give us that commitment and that faith in us for just a little bit more while we work this out, right? We're working hard, and We need them to give us a bit of space and give us a little bit of faith, and they'll see us through.
Feedback you're getting from conversations, I don't know what you can share, but conversations with Big 12, ACC, is the feedback related to, let us check with our media partners to see if there's appetite, or are those conversations you're even having? Is there another entity having those conversations?
I can't. I wish I could tell you all of that. I can't. But of course, the big center of those conversations would really be Teresa. Yeah, she leads.
Any vacations?
I've had a vacation.
Where'd you go?
Well, I mean, I had a big trip to India, which wasn't a vacation.
Yeah, right.
It was work, work, work. And then we took a week off and went to the Philippines. So I don't know if you know this about us. So my husband is a big collector of countries. So his deal is he wants to go to every country in the world before he drops dead. And so he's got to live a good long time before that happens. So we're on country number 75, 76.
Really?
Yeah. So Philippines.
You'd cross the Philippines off.
Yeah.
So what's next? What would we do?
I want to go to Uzbekistan.
Okay.
Central Asia. Why? Because, the Mughal Empire in India started with a guy called Babur, who actually is from Uzbekistan. And so I wanted to see the historical underpinnings of that whole thing.
What do you get from seeing that up close?
I just love being in places that I don't know anything about. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Oregon State President Jayathi Murthy as much as I did. I thought it was really telling. Look, I published the full interview at johnconzano.com over the weekend. The comment section is fascinating to me. If you have a chance, go in there and take a look at the comment section, because it's not often that I do an interview where people who are sports fans start to talk about things that are not related to sports, and it's frequently not common to have everybody sort of agree, like, wow, this is a really impressive person. I think Oregon State's got a fighter in their corner. Jayathi Murthy has grit to her. You can tell her story includes that. But I think beyond that, they're in a fight right now that is an uphill battle. I'm going to talk more about two bites to the apple. What does that comment mean? I had a source tell me that Oregon State and Washington State, it won't be one bite, it'll be two bites. What does that mean? Leave it here.